I'd like you to open first to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We're going to start right there. Galatians chapter 2. Okay, now let's take a look at this verse. Paul makes the statement. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I want you to look again at that verse, and I want you to look very closely to it. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, there's some things in this verse we want to look at. He starts off by saying, I am crucified with Christ. All right, let's think for a moment. Was Paul crucified with Christ? I mean, literally, no. And we have no reason to believe he was even there when Jesus was crucified. We don't even know how old he might have been. But he says, I was crucified with Christ. So what in the world is he talking about? Well, let's look at this briefly, just for a few moments. If you look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Well, we know Jesus was crucified, and this phrase, hangeth on a tree, is speaking of the crucifixion. So it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now, if Paul makes the statement that I'm crucified with Christ, what that means is that Jesus Christ became the curse that I was supposed to be. He took my place, and in him I was crucified. Well, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because, quite frankly, to really explain all this in detail would take more than just tonight. But simply put, the Bible talks about, over in 2 Corinthians, how that God made Jesus to be sin for us, but Jesus didn't know any sin. Yet, God made Jesus to be sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Jesus. Well, we had a sin nature, Jesus didn't. But Jesus died instead of us. He's the one that hung on the tree and was crucified in our place. He's the one that, if you want to put it like this, fulfilled the curse. That's just one way to kind of put it. He became the curse and died under the penalty of the curse. And Paul says, but I've been crucified with him. How does that work? Well, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, that's when his substitutionary work becomes our living reality. I was crucified with him. He died in my place. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. You know, ultimately, the curse of the law, there were a lot of punishments associated with breaking the law. But those were punishments for breaking the law. The curse of the law, really, was the fact that you couldn't live it. That was a curse of the law. Because once the law was given, people read it, yet they found out they couldn't live according to it. And it's like this thing was always hanging over their heads. They were supposed to do this, but they couldn't do it because they had this sin nature. Ultimately, that was the curse of the law. The law itself wasn't cursed, but once it was given to man, then man realized there's a curse associated with this thing. I thought I was doing quite well. Now I find out I wasn't doing well at all. Okay, but I'll live like this because God said I need to. And I try, and I try. Then I find out, but I can't. It's kind of like what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7. In my mind, I know that this is a good thing. And I try my best. But the problem is, I am an unredeemed, unregenerate human being with a sin nature on the inside, and I cannot live a God nature life with a sin nature spirit. I need help. Who shall deliver me? And God answers the question and He says, Jesus Christ. He says, well, thank God there is therefore now no condemnation to them which walk in the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Praise the Lord. We're born again. Amen. But now look at this. Look over in Romans chapter, leave your finger here in Galatians, but turn over to Romans chapter 6. Two verses. And these two verses are very similar to what we're reading here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. In Romans 5, or 6, verses 5 and 6, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, or that henceforth we should not be a slave to sin. And so He says, if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also, and the next three words in the King James are in italics. Well, they were added. But if you remove those words, and a word and a half next, the word His, which is also in italics, it says this, If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also of resurrection. In other words, what it's saying is, the likeness of His death. We did not die the death of Jesus, but when we put our faith in Him, we experienced the resurrection of Jesus. We experienced the spiritual resurrection on the inside of us. And the life that God used to cause Jesus to be raised up from the dead, both spiritually and physically, is the exact same life that He gives to us. So we are in the likeness of His death, but we are in the every bit reality of His resurrection life. We have been born again. And He says, because of that, the body of sin's destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Well, what's the body of sin? Well, briefly, without going too far out into this, He's talking about the sin nature, your spiritual sin nature. Now, back over in Galatians chapter 2, He says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, remember what He talked about, the likeness of His resurrection? He says, I'm crucified with Christ. If we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, I am crucified with Christ. See the parallel between the two statements? Then He says, we'll have His resurrection, will be of His resurrection. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So this is a restating of the same thing that He just said over there in Romans. He says, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? I mean, when you just read it and you don't read anything into it, it sounds like a contradiction. Nevertheless, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, what in the world is He talking about here? Well, when He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, essentially what He's saying here is that I am alive, but the life that I have is not the life that I had. The life that I now have, since I've been crucified with Christ, is the life of Christ, which is exactly what He's telling you here. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He's not saying that Jesus literally, physically is in you. He's talking about the same life that Jesus has is the life that has been passed on to you when you put your faith in Him to be born again. I am crucified with Christ. I am dead. That old sin nature man is dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, it's not the same person that you knew before. It's not the same life I was born into this world with. It's a totally different life. And the life that I have now, it's not the life that I had before. It is the life of Christ. Christ liveth in me. Put it another way. The Christ life is now alive in me and is what is causing me to be alive. So when you look at me on the outside, you're seeing the outside person. But on the inside, I am not what I used to be. I do not have the old life. I have a new life. I'm completely changed. It's like there's a song, a real toe tapper, says, I've been changed, I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay in my life. Oh yes, I've been changed. I mean, it's a neat song. Well, that's what He's talking about here. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In other words, I have that Christ life in me, not a sin nature life. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what He says here. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Notice it doesn't say I live by the faith in the Son of God. It says I live by the faith of the Son of God. You say, well, what's the difference? Oh, there's a huge difference. Faith in the Son of God is what caused you to be born again. He's not talking about faith in Him to be born again. He is talking about the life that I live in this flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. This is a very powerful statement. Here's why. Because it means that there is a faith available to us, well, to anybody. There is a faith available which only originates from the life of Christ. And the only way that you get it is if you are born again. Look at this. Look at what he says here. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Okay, he is establishing the passing away of the sin nature and the regeneration of him being born again with the life of God, the life of Christ. And then he continues this, and he says, now, as I'm living day to day here in this body, the life that I now live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He didn't say I live by my faith. He says I live by the faith of the Son of God. How did he get this faith? He was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he lives, yet not him, but Christ lives in him. And now the life that he lives in the flesh, he lives by the faith of the Son of God, not the faith he had beforehand. You say, is there a difference? Oh yeah, there's a difference. What I'm going to show you here in this tonight is going to explain to you why a lot of Christians are living day to day in what they perceive as failure. It's because they're not living according to the faith of the Son of God. You say, well, how do you get the faith of the Son of God? You already know. He tells you right here. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ, who is Christ? The Son of God. The Son of God liveth in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I not only depended upon Him to be born again, but I'm also living by His faith. You say, well, I need my own faith. You've got it. You say, but I thought I need the faith of the Son of God. You do. Well, where do I get that? You've got it. Well, how can I have His faith and my faith? Very simple. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the Son of God in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I no longer live the way I used to live according to that kind of faith. I now live according to the faith of the Son of God that was given to me the moment that I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I now have new nature faith as opposed to sin nature faith. This is what he's trying to get across here. And this is where a lot of Christians miss it. And now I didn't do any research to study any other versions of the Bible to see if they switched this around to make it say the faith in the Son of God. But I'm just guessing when I say, I wouldn't be surprised if there are Bibles out there which talk about the faith in the Son of God as opposed to the faith of the Son of God. Basically what he's telling you right here in this passage is that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The sin nature was removed. In its place, I received the born-again nature, or the life of God, the life of Christ, the life of the Son of God, that new nature. I have that. Now, I have the ability to live by the faith of the Son of God. Okay, now what is the faith of the Son of God? Well, one way to look at it is this. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What do you see in Jesus? You see Jesus living by the faith of the Son of God. Now that we're born again, we have the potential to live by the same faith. Now let's look at this some more. All humans have faith. When you are born in this world, you have faith. You have the ability to live by faith. The proof of that is the Old Testament. Abraham. He trusted God, the faith of Abraham. Abraham had faith, but was he born again? No, he wasn't. What about David? Did David have faith? Absolutely. What about Noah? Did Noah have faith? Absolutely. What about Jonah? Did Jonah have faith? Afterward. and Ezekiel. I mean, the list goes on and on. John the Baptist, did he have faith? Yeah. Mary, did she have faith? Absolutely. But not one of these people were born again. Not one of these people had the life of God on the inside of them, yet they had faith. Every human being who has ever been born into this world has faith. Now, think about this. For by grace are you saved through faith. If you didn't have faith, you couldn't be born again. Can you see this? You have faith. Every one of you. Lost people, people out there right now sitting in bars, they have faith. Because if you didn't have enough faith to get born again, you couldn't tap into the grace of God. Now see, some people, this might mess them up, because it's almost like if you hang around the faith people too long, you can start thinking lost people don't have faith. But they do. Because if you didn't have it, you couldn't become born again and then become a part of the faith people. Every person, doesn't matter who you are, you have faith. Born lost people have faith. Now, the reason I'm trying to drive this home is because of what God showed me in this. There is a faith that you have as a lost person. Then there is a faith that comes only by being born again. The only way that, like what Paul's talking about here, the only way that you can have the faith of the Son of God is if you have the life of the Son of God in you. Call it the born-again spirit. Call it the new nature. Whichever term you like. The only way that you can have that faith is if you're born again. Now, what does that say? What that says is this. No matter how much we read about Abraham, no matter how much we read about David or anybody else in the Old Testament or John the Baptist or Mary, the mother of Jesus, no matter how much we read about all of the pre-cross people and all the great things they did by faith, read Hebrews chapter 11. You have to understand that the faith they operated by was faith that was generated out of their soulish area, had nothing to do with the born-again life, but yet the faith was there. And then God turns right around, and through Paul, He gives us a revelation that we as born-again people have access to a kind of faith that only comes through the life of God. Now what does that tell us? It tells us that we have a tremendous opportunity to do tremendous things because we have access to a kind of faith nobody else ever had. Let's go further. When you get born again, this is the moment that you receive the faith of the Son of God. Because when you get born again, it's when you receive the life of Christ, the life of the Father, the life of the Son of God, that born-again life, that new nature. The moment that you become born again is the moment that you receive that life. But it's also the moment you receive this faith, the faith of the Son of God. You cannot separate the two. Because the faith of the Son of God comes from the life of the Son of God. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. So the moment that you receive the experience of being spiritually transformed, passing from spiritual death to spiritual life that you have is the spiritual faith that you need. It's all part and parcel. It's the same thing. It's all connected. You can't separate that faith from that life. That's why When Christians go to God and say, God, I want you to give me faith. God says, well, you've got to understand something. You're my child and you received my life and you received the nature of my son. You received my life and my nature. Now you need to understand something, that part and parcel with that life is my faith. The faith of the Son of God. You have it. Well, Father God, I'm sorry, but I just don't believe that. Well, then you need to find out more about what happened when you got born again. Now you know what? There are a lot of Christians that have a hard time understanding this. Here's why. It's because, quite frankly, few of us have ever been taught that there are different kinds of faith. We're basically taught faith is faith. That's just faith is faith. That's just how it is. Well, sure it is. But we're born again. And Paul's talking about the faith of the Son of God. In other words, what he's saying is, the same kind of faith that Jesus utilized to fulfill everything God called him to do, the moment you receive that same life is the moment that you receive that same faith. But there's a difference between having it and using it. A difference between having it and using it. The faith of Christ is the faith of the new nature. Or let's put this a different way. The faith which is associated with the faith of Christ enables the works of Christ and the fulfillment of God's will. You can't fulfill, the way God designs it, the way He truly wants it, you cannot fulfill His will and do the works of Jesus unless you're operating by the faith of the Son of God. You see, Abraham, he fulfilled God's will for his life relative to the fact that he had a sin nature. God, let's put it like this. When God put His expectations out there for Abraham, and He's communicating with Abraham, those expectations were based on the fact that man had a sin nature. And so God related to him that way. Same way He related to David. Same way He related to Daniel. Same way with Joshua. All the rest of them. They all had a sin nature. So when God laid His expectations out before them, those expectations were based upon the fact that God knew they had a sin nature. So they could only rise to a certain point of fulfilling God's will. But let me clue you in. God's perfect will for them went far beyond anything they ever did. God's perfect will for Noah went way beyond building that ark. You say, well, how do you figure that? God didn't want Noah to have a sin nature. He wanted Noah to be restored. He wanted Noah to be redeemed. He wanted Joshua to be redeemed. He wanted Moses to be redeemed. But they couldn't. That's why He had to lay righteousness to their account. And so when God set expectations out for them, He couldn't tell them, live like My son. They couldn't. He already knew that. So what He did was say, look, you know, you're going to fall short in a lot of things because you have a sin nature. But I can at least give you this much to do. And these are things that you can accomplish even with the sin nature. Build an ark. Lead the people out of Egypt. See what I'm saying? But when it comes to us, man, we've got a whole different set of circumstances. God doesn't relate to us like Abraham. People talk about, I wish I had the faith of Abraham. No, you don't. Abraham was lost. His faith didn't come out of a born-again spirit. Now that you're born again, you have the capacity to operate at a faith level that Abraham couldn't come close to. It's because you now have the opportunity out of the life of God in you to operate by the faith of the Son of God. So God sets expectations for us that are relative to the fact that not only are we born again with His life, but we also have the faith of the Son of God on the inside of us. Now, think of it this way. This faith, when you're born again, the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's there. Okay? But now it's up to us to do something with it. What do we have to do with it? Well, use it. But I want you to think for a moment. Remember what Jesus was talking about when He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed? Okay, now we're not going to teach on the mustard seed thing tonight, but very simply, faith is a grain of mustard seed. What He's talking about there, if your faith was like the mustard seed, then it starts off real tiny, but it begins to grow. And as it grows, it overpowers everything else in the garden. It becomes bigger than all your weeds. You with me? Okay. He's speaking about what happens when we accept Him as Lord and Savior. There's a whole lot more on the mustard seed you could teach. I'm not going to do that tonight. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, in our born again... Okay, think of this. Remember it talks about how when you accept Jesus, you know, you're like babes in Christ and so forth. Okay. You know a little bitty baby? Little baby. A natural born little baby. They have a little bitty stomach and little bitty kidneys, you know, and little bitty spleen. And a little bitty tiny appendix. I mean, you know, all those little bitty tiny things are on the inside of them. But they don't stay a little bitty tiny, do they? They grow, and in some cases they get really big. At least the casing does. They grow. And now they've got an adult heart, and adult lungs, an adult spleen, an adult bladder, an adult, you know, all the rest of the stuff. But they didn't have that when they were a baby. But they had the potential for it, did they not? And every now and then, you hear of a baby that's born with some kind of a genetic defect that prohibits their growth. And they'll reach a certain point and then stop. They don't grow beyond that. And they'll become full adults, but we're not talking about like dwarfism. We're talking about like little kids that just, something's wrong. They just don't grow beyond a certain point. Well, in the realm of the spirit, that's kind of the way it is. When you're born again, you're a babe in Christ. Even though you may be, you know, a fully grown adult before you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you finally come to the place of accepting Him, on the inside of you, you are a babe in Christ. That new nature is there, and contained in that new nature, inseparable from that new nature, is this little tiny thing called the faith of the Son of God. All right? Now, it's there whether you do anything with it or not. It's there. And it is going to be with you forever. It's never going to, you can't dig it out. You can't tell it to go away. You either fertilize it, cause it to grow, do what you can to cause its development and use it, or you don't. It's totally up to you. God's not going to make it happen. But now, let's carry this thought a little bit further. This faith, the faith of the Son of God, it comes the moment we're born again. When we're born again and that faith is in us, what is its origin? Well, it's spiritual and it originates with the life of God. Because when you get born again, you're born again spiritually, and the life you receive is the life of God. So this faith, the faith of the Son of God faith, it is spiritual in origin and life of God in origin. Now what that means is if we're going to see that faith develop and grow, we have to do something that is directly connected to the Spirit and the life of God. That's the only way it's going to develop and become anything. Now let me show you two places in Scripture. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. One verse. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, what's the Bible tell us about God's word? God's word is life, is it not? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the life of God. Just to kind of, you know, put it a different way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the... What kind of faith? What kind of faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? Well, obviously, the faith that you have when you first got, or when you were born into this world, you hear about the word of God, and you put that faith in the grace of God to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, if you don't have to be born again to have get born again faith, because you have get born again faith before you're born again. Now, let me put it like this: once you're born again, you don't need get born again faith. I'm trying, kind of being facetious here, but once you're born again, you don't need get born again faith. Now you need Son of God faith. Why is that? Because you become a son of God. If you try to operate the rest of your life on get-born-again faith, you'll never fulfill the call of being a son of God. Because the only way that you can live life as a son of God is by son of God faith. Not get-born-again faith. And son of God faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See how the connection is? See how it's all working together? Now let me show you another one. You probably know where we're headed on this one. Jude. Hey, Jude. Verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Here's the spiritual aspect of it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's Word is life. And it's spiritual in nature. And then you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Here's another life. Here's another spiritual connection to this. Now, what kind of faith is it we're building up, building ourselves up on? Well, he says your most holy faith. Well, where does most holy faith come from? Your holy nature. When you're born again, you have the holy life of God on the inside of you. The Son of God life. The Son of God faith. It's in there. And so he says, you build yourself up on this. Well, how do I do that? You pray in tongues. Now let me ask you a question. Could you do verse 20 before you got born again? No, you couldn't. So this verse 20 is not talking about get born again faith. This verse 20 is talking about Son of God faith. Build yourself up on the spiritual faith that came when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we have two things here. We have the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we have praying in tongues whereby we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Paul says, crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And because of that, I now have the potential to live life in this flesh according to the faith of the Son of God. Something I couldn't do beforehand. Now here's where it gets kind of tricky. And here's where most Christians are making a mistake. They think, now listen to this, they think believing something is Son of God faith. Now let me ask you a question. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Ask any Christian, do you believe that? They're going to tell you, yeah. You get around Christians that believe in praying in the Spirit, and you ask them about Jude 20, do you believe that verse? And they'll tell you, yeah. But believing it is not Son of God faith. What is Son of God faith? Well, the manifestation of it is blind eyes open, deaf ears open, lame people walk, dead are raised, devils cast out, etc., and so on. Just because you believe something doesn't mean that that's Son of God faith. The Bible talks about how that the devils believe there is one God and they tremble. But that's not Son of God faith. They believe it, but it's not Son of God faith. So here's what we have. We have all kinds of Christians today, and the Lord really impressed this upon me, how that Christians today, they know Romans 10:17, and they know Jude 20. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. They know this, but they're still living by the faith they were born into this world with. They're still living by faith that comes out of the soulish realm. You say, help me understand this, okay? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. In other words, Son of God faith comes by hearing, hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, okay? You build yourself up on your Son of God faith praying in tongues. What does that mean? That means if you're not getting into the Word and you're not praying in tongues, guess what is not changing in you? Son of God faith. It's not being developed. It's not growing. It's not producing. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're not feasting on the Word of God, then Son of God faith isn't coming. Put it this way. You're not fertilizing what's been put in you. Because it's in there whether you believe it or not. It's that little seed that Jesus was, kind of talking about. But the more faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we get in the Word, and we line upon line, precept upon precept, meditate upon Scriptures. Not just that little God's promises for your everyday little book or little box where you pull the card out and read it and say, hallelujah, Jesus, I'm blessed. I mean, thank God you're doing that, not going to the horoscope. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about when you get into the Word and you feed your spirit with the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now I don't know how else to say this. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not praying in tongues, Son of God faith is not coming, and the faith you're living by is the faith you were born with. Because that faith is always going to be there. This is why a lot of Christians are talking about how I'm trusting God, I'm trusting God, I'm trusting God. I've got my faith in God. I've got my faith in everything that He said. I'm trusting God. But why isn't He doing anything? Why am I not seeing any changes? I pray for people. Nothing ever happens. I've never seen anybody get healed. I've got this problem and that problem. I've got a whole tree full of problems in my life. I've got faith. I've got what you've got is the faith. You're trying to operate by the faith that you were born into this world with. Because Son of God faith operates differently. See, this is a challenge for Christians. It might be a challenge for some of you tonight because you've never heard it like this before. When you begin operating by the Son of God faith, you know what? You begin fulfilling the call that God has upon your life. When you begin operating by the Son of God faith, you begin casting out devils. When you begin operating by the Son of God faith, you begin praying for people and you begin to see the power of God demonstrated through you. You might call it spiritual maturity. I don't know. But when you start operating by Son of God faith, you begin recognizing the voice of God. Christians that struggle with hearing God's voice, all they need to do is develop Son of God faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And you're going to start hearing the Word of God, the voice of God. You'll be able to distinguish His voice from the voice of your own imaginations, the lying voice of the devil and so forth, the mocking voice of the devil. You'll be able to distinguish this. And so you have a lot of Christians that are living their lives trying to get things accomplished, and they're not doing it by Son of God faith. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That life is in me. Not only that, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He's telling you two different things in here. He's telling you, number one, I'm born again. Number two, I'm living by the faith that came with being born again. That Galatians 2:20 is not one big happy statement. He's explaining two different things. I got born again, and when I did, I passed from spiritual death into spiritual life, and now I'm operating by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, I could not do that until I had been crucified with Christ. And now that I have His life in me, I have the potential to accomplish His works. And that is exactly what Jesus said. He that believes in me, the works I do, he shall do also. Believing in Jesus, later on Jesus talked about doing His word. Well, we have His word in here. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Pray in tongues. Build yourself up on that faith. This is why faith does not come through circumstances. Hardship does not produce faith. Financial problems does not produce faith. Sickness and disease does not produce faith. Lousy husband, lousy wife does not produce faith. Lousy neighbors does not produce faith. Car wrecks do not produce faith. Those things don't produce faith. Oh, yeah, but Brother Martin, I heard somebody's testimony. How that when they were laid up in the hospital, boy, their faith really developed. No, it didn't. Not unless faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God and they're praying in tongues. Faith did not come. Here's why. Remember, this faith originates with the life of God. Remember that? And therefore, the only way to develop that faith, it has to be something connected with the life of God, the source. Sickness, disease, and car wrecks and all this other stuff don't originate with God. They are natural things, not spiritual things. Therefore, those things cannot cause faith to come. And it doesn't matter who told you what. It doesn't matter what the guy said on television, what you read in his book, what you heard on the radio program. It doesn't matter. Because when they start talking about, well, my faith really changed when I was laid up in the hospital, it did if they were wording and praying, okay? Otherwise, it didn't. Because Son of God faith only comes through the Word and through praying in the Spirit. You know what came when they went through those circumstances? They developed a greater level of pre-born again faith. That's all it is. Let me give you an example, okay? I get on a boat, and I walk over and I look at the life preserver. Now, this thing's ratty. It's got cracks. It's got splits. And I look at the rope that's connected to it. This is an old rope. Dirty, smelly old rope. It's got some little frayed places in it. And I'm thinking, man, I hope I don't go overboard if that's all they've got. Why, that thing couldn't pull my dog in. Well, then all of a sudden, a big wind hits that boat, and the boat rocks, and overboard goes Jimmy. And somebody yells, "Preacher overboard!" And I see them running over to get that life preserver. And I'm thinking, oh, they're going to kill me. They're going to drown me. And they throw that thing out. And it hits the water right next to me. Well, it's all I've got. So I grab a hold of it. And lo and behold, it doesn't sink. And neither do I. I'm thinking, what? This thing's better off than what I thought. But they still have to pull me in that old ratty, raggedy rope. And they start pulling. Heave, ho, heave, ho. And as they're pulling me in, rope doesn't break. Doesn't even fray anymore. And I'm thinking, wow, why, this rope's pretty good rope. I can't believe this is incredible. Well, finally they pull me back up. I'm there on the boat. And I stand there scratching my head. Man, oh man. That life preserver is a whole lot better than I thought it was, and so is that rope. So from that point on, the rest of my sea voyage, you know what I have? Faith in that life preserver and faith in that rope. My faith has been developed in the natural area. Do you see what I'm saying in this? And this is what most Christians are talking about when they say their faith is being developed and that their faith is growing. It's based on natural circumstances and the fact that something in the natural changed. It's not based on the fact that faith came by hearing and hearing by the Word of God and that they spent time praying in the Holy Ghost. Because that's the only way that Son of God faith is going to come. My preaching isn't going to cause your faith to come. Oh, it may help a little bit, but, you know, if this is the best you get, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, for crying out loud, you're not doing very well. Because I can't replace the Word of God, I can only share it with you, and I sure can't take the place of the Holy Spirit. You see this? You've got a call on your life. Every single one of you. And every single one of us, we are ultimately supposed to be doing the works of Jesus. But in order to do the works of the Son of God, we've got to operate by the faith of the Son of God. And the only way that we're going to develop that faith into working condition is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and build yourself up on that faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's it. But how many Christians are out there running to and fro, chasing every wind of faith doctrine, listening to all the faith tapes, buying all the faith books, listening to this preacher, reading that preacher, believing that all of that information is causing a change in their faith? It will, but not Son of God faith, because it was information that changed the faith of Abraham. What information? God's promise. Abraham had information that changed his faith. And he stepped out to do what God, but it never changed him. I mean, as far as causing him to be born again, he had to wait for that. He had to wait for that kind of spiritual change. So information is going to cause and can cause a Christian to have a change in their faith. But it's not going to be a change in the Son of God's faith. Unless you do the things that are directly related to the life of God that you received. The Word and praying in the Spirit. You say, well, what does that mean? I don't even want to admit what that means. What it means is that for me or anybody else, if it's not coming from the Word and praying in the Spirit, it is not Son of God faith. And I can be operating by a whole lot of presumption. A whole lot of pre-born-again faith, the kind that you have in this world, the kind that Abraham had, the kind that David had, the kind that John the Baptist had, the kind that Mary had, the kind everybody had and has before they're born again. And sometimes that faith causes, that kind of faith can cause people to believe that they're walking in a greater level of God faith when they aren't. See, really, a simple way to kind of look at this is, are you in the Word and are you praying? Are you in the Word and are you praying? If you are, Son of God faith is coming. It's being developed. You are growing. That mustard seed, Son of God faith in you, is growing and changing and developing and maturing. Because you can't stop it. Once you start in the Word, once you start praying in the Spirit, that faith changes. It grows. It develops. And you begin doing what God's called you to do. Things just happen. You ever notice? Just take an apple tree, all right? Take an apple seed, you plant it. It's going to take some time before you end up with an apple tree, let alone apples on the apple tree. But over a period of time, you know, here comes the tree. You know, you've got the trunk. And then you have all these branches, you know, and all the leaves on the branches. Now, do you have to go out there and tell that tree to produce apples? Do you have to go out there and say, now you listen to me. I know next year you're due to bear fruit. I'm telling you now, don't you even think about producing oranges. I planted you to get apples. I don't want watermelons. I don't want cucumbers. I don't want potato chips. I don't want anything else. I want apples. Do you understand me, tree? Apples. And if you give me anything else, I will cut you down. Now, if you did something like that, we'd have those fellows come by and pay you a visit with a pretty white jacket. You know why you wouldn't do that? It's because you know that tree is going to produce apples. It can't produce anything else but apples. It has to. That is its destiny. That is its program. That is what it has to do. Likewise, when you get in the Word and you start praying in the Spirit, you know what happens? It produces Son of God faith. Or it develops that seed faith, that what is in you. It has to. It can't do anything else. That's why the more you're in the Word, the more you pray in the Spirit, the more the Son of God faith develops on the inside of you, and you begin to get Son of God results. You don't have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, change! You be what you're supposed to. You don't have to grab a hold of your Bible and say, you listen to me, you had better produce Son of God faith, or you and I are going to have a word. Nobody would do that. When you pray in tongues, you don't have to yell at the Holy Ghost and say, Holy Ghost, I'm getting ready to pray in tongues. Now when I do, I am telling you now, it better build me up on my most holy faith. Because if it doesn't, I'm going to God on you. You don't have to do that. Because when you pray in tongues and you get in the Word, it's all programmed to cause Son of God faith to develop. And you can't stop it. It's a guarantee. That's why the more you do that, pray and get in the Word, the more you do it, the more things just begin to change. And eventually you'll begin to notice it in your life. You pray for somebody, they get healed. It almost scares you. Where'd that come from? Well, it's because you've been developing Son of God faith in you. Now, this message tonight, I know, would be a massive challenge to a whole lot of Christians. Not because I'm trying to make it one, but it's because we have really been misled a lot in this thing of faith. Thinking that that Son of God faith, put it like this, that Son of God faith is nothing more than just trusting God. Abraham did that. And he did it when he wasn't even born again. Yeah, Son of God faith involves trusting God. But you know what? If I'm operating in Son of God faith, trusting Him, then I'm going to trust that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and I'll pray in tongues to develop myself and grow, and build myself up on that faith. Is this making sense? So, as we are here tonight, we can go a long way operating in pre-born-again faith. The same kind of thing Abraham did, okay? And David and the rest of them. It was pre-born-again faith. We can go a long way operating in that faith after we're born again and even Spirit-filled. We can. And we can do a lot of things for God. And we're going to be able to accomplish a lot of things that He tells us to do. Abraham did. David did. We will be able to go to a certain point. But when you're talking about going beyond that point, It is not going to happen unless you have developed Son of God faith to do Son of God works to accomplish and fulfill Son of God will. That means for us, we're going to have to use time to get in the Word and pray in tongues. Really, pray in tongues is the easy part. All you have to do is just pray. Whatever you're doing, just pray. You know, it's wise not to do it when you're eating. That can be embarrassing. But pray in tongues while you're driving. You know, we've gone over this so many times. Praying in tongues is the easy one. The challenge is going to be the Word of God. It's hard. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I mean, I know you can listen to it on tape, but you sure can't read it while you're driving. That's a bit of a challenge. When we do these things, Son of God faith is going to come. It's going to develop. It's going to go from a seed to a fruit-bearing plant. And we are going to begin to see things happen in our lives that maybe we questioned could ever take place. We're going to begin to see things change in our life that we wondered, how come these things are never changing? It's because now we're operating in Son of God faith. Now, in closing, I'll share this. When you operate in Son of God faith, that does not mean that life is going to be a bed of roses or a bowl of cherries or a banana split or anything else. You know why? Look at the life of Jesus. Did he have hard times? I'm sure he did. I mean, people trying to kill him and everything else, kick him out of their churches. Life's not easy when you're the Son of God. I mean, really, just examine what happened to Jesus. But boy, I'll tell you what, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of people trying to kill him, in the midst of people kicking him out of their churches, in the midst of religious leaders accusing him of having a devil, what was going on? Blind eyes were being opened. Deaf ears were being opened. Devils were being cast out. Dead people were being raised. All these things were happening in the midst of all of that stuff. So on the one hand, life stunk. But on the other hand, he's operating by the faith of the Son of God, and he is getting God results in the lives of the people that come to him. So yeah, you're going to encounter some hardship. But you know what? When you're operating in the faith of the Son of God, you're also going to be operating in the peace that passes all understanding. You're also going to be operating in the joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if your own family members call you crazy like they did to Jesus, if your own family members turn against you, if your own family members call you names, if your own family members attack you because of righteousness, like Jesus said, persecuted for righteousness' sake, even if that happens, you are still going to be able to walk in the peace of God. Doesn't mean you're going to like everything that happens, but it means you're going to be able to walk in the peace of God because you're operating by the faith of the Son of God. Man, that makes me feel good. I can operate at the same faith level as Jesus. I'll never hang on a cross for you. I'll never baptize you in the Holy Ghost. But I can operate at the same faith level and fulfill God's perfect will for my life the way Jesus fulfilled God's perfect will for His life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this old flesh, I'm learning to live by the faith of the Son of God. And hopefully, when the day comes that I stand before Him, I'll be able to quote that verse exactly. Having gone from learning to doing. Praise the Lord. We can live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. Praise God. Okay, faith giants, stand up.